Emily's gone to take a shower. The room's half dark, and I'm getting dressed, looking for a shirt with no blood on it, not having any luck. The pants are effed, too. Cigarette burns in the crotches, all heroin chic, like I was already famous. I go downstairs. Lavinia pissed in the living room. There's a lake of piss. I say, Lavinia, GD, yet low enough that she won't hear me. She's a good dog. Just we've been some F's about house training her. I get the paper towels and a bottle of spray. I check the rigs in the cupboard. The rigs in the cupboard are all blood used and crooked like instruments of torture. And there are two lengths of nylon in the cupboard and a box of Q-tips and a digital scale, two spoons with old cottons in them. The needles on the rigs are dull, but they'll have to do. Emily has to be at school by 10, and it'll be a close-run thing. There won't be time to buy new rigs till afterward. It's 8:40, but I think we'll make it. Black should be on time today, and he'll have something for us, so I'm not worried. I soak the piss up with the paper towels. I wipe the spot down with disinfectant, throw the used paper towels away. Black pulls up in the driveway, and I let him in the side door. He hands me a .45 caliber pistol wrapped in a blue rag, and I say, "Let me hold another gram." He says, "Okay." "This'll make it 7:20, he says. "No problem." It hurts a little extra when the needle's dull like this. It can make it hard to hit a vein. But I hit a vein, no problem, and this is a good omen. It's going to be a lucky day. I shoot it. The taste comes on first, then the rush starts. And it's all about right, the warmth bleeding down through me. Till the taste comes on stronger than usual. So strong it's sickening, and I figure it out. How I was always dead, my ears ringing. That's from the opening of Cherry by Nico Walker. The Washington Post's review of this book screams, quote, "Cherry is a miracle of literary serendipity, a triumph." Walker's language, relentlessly profane but never angry, simmers at the level of morose disappointment. Something like Holden Caulfield goes to war. They go on to say, "Cherry is written without an ounce of self-pity by an author allergic to the meretricious poetry of despair. In these propulsive pages, Walker draws us right into the mind of an ordinary young man beset by his own and his country's demons. In the end, his only weapon against disintegration is his own devastating candor." I wrote, "This is definitely not the type of novel I would usually pick up and read." But from the first page, I was, if you'll excuse the expression, hooked. Like so many of us, I was raised with the ideal that when it comes down to it, we're all human. We're all living in this fallen world. We're all addicted to something or someone. We're all in this together. Yes, some of us handle life in more socially acceptable ways. Some of us aspire to a secure middle-class life and respect of our neighbors. And not so many of us are addicted to heroin. But then some of us just want to get by, just want to get through the day, just want to score their next hits so they can get their significant other off to school to teach your class. So let's look a moment at our lead character in Cherry. When we first meet him in the book's first pages, he's a shiftless, sometimes bank robber, who steals just enough to get by. But he's capable, indeed he enjoys, taking note of the best that nature and life has to offer him. As he tells us, "I go up Hampshire, which one way, and the brick apartment building is on either side. Some of the apartments have balconies, and the trees are nice. I don't understand them, but I like them. I think I'd like them all. It had to be a pretty effed up tree in order for me not to like it. The lane is two ways, with houses on either side after the stop. Some of the houses are duplexes. Some are single family homes. And they all look nice, and there are more trees and bigger ones. I turn around on the street and park at the curb. Black pulls up, and I get into his car. He cuts over and turns left into Lancashire. He drives down and stops a little ways back from the corner. There's nothing more for us to do now. I'm on the sidewalk. I'm in Indian's hat and a red scarf. I'm a blue hoodie and a white button-down shirt, some jeans, white Adidas, nothing out of the ordinary. The gun is in my waist. I pull the scarf up before I go by the ATMs, and the scarf covers the lower half of my face. It's a little late for it to do any good. I've been at this for a while now, and it's no secret what my face looks like. And here's a guy walking out, and I'm at the door going in. I'm not worried. I'm through the door, and I have the gun out so everybody can see. No alarms. I'm a wanted man. They'll kill me. I'm only kidding around. And I think everybody knows as much. But this is nevertheless a holdup, and I'll need some money before I leave. For all of his antisocial faults, he is a bank robber, amongst many other things. He and his significant other live in a neighborhood most of us would find acceptable. Lots of trees, concerned neighbors. He and his significant other have adopted a dog, which he admits they have not done a good job of housebreaking, as we heard. But they did that so they could pull themselves away from their druggy ways. And ironically, he tells us, they became druggies with a dog. He's not out to hurt those he robs or runs into on the street either before or after his robberies take place. And in his own unique way, our protagonist is endearing, from page one. So at the outset, Cherry is a book about a young guy, about romance. It's a book about drug use. And more, Cherry is a book about a young man who decides that life after high school doesn't run to a collegiate career for him. Instead, he signs up for the armed forces, and he and we are plunged into a grunt's life in a modern Middle Eastern war for much of the rest of the novel. So Cherry is a book a bit about college life and sex, and lots of drugs, and lots of gruesome, boring, terrifying wartime life. The use of the first-person narrative adds to the friendly tone of this rough-and-tumble novel. The author's skill at painting the lead character's feelings, be those feelings upbeat, which they are sometimes, fearful, which they are many times, romantic, gets us reading an into-his-head-space with smooth ability, never intruding on the story and only adding to our budding acceptance of this druggy lead as a guy we'd probably like to share a beverage with. Get to know him better. As many other reviewers have said, this is a book about the seamy sides of life, both here on the home front and overseas at war. It's a book that pulls no punches, that accepts profanity as a part of everyday life, pretty much every sentence, and somehow leaves the reader exhausted from the travails of its character, yet optimistic that they will live to see another day and be appreciative for the ability and the opportunity to live on. Quote, the negative reviews seem to focus on the book's approach to describing soldiers, end quote, one reviewer writes. That reviewer goes on to tell us, quote, in the book, the soldiers seem incredibly human, being put into extraordinary situations, responding in whatever way they can. However, they also commit atrocities and terrible things. There are none of the typical hero's quest characters in this story. Every single person that is mentioned is deeply flawed. This is the magic of the story, our reviewer says. Throughout all of the debased actions that the characters pursue, there is a strain of humanity running through it all, end quote. One final note. The author of Cherry is currently serving time in a federal prison for bank robbery. He's not a conventional author. He is an author who's been interviewed by Esquire, by Rolling Stone, and yes, by NPR. Nico Walker is an author who has written a book that has received rave reviews from many. So if you're up for a lot of profanity and a whole lot of honest emotion, I hope you'll give Cherry a try. I began this review reading from the opening of the book. Let's finish by reading not from its ending, but from its raucous and somehow moving middle section, as our protagonist reflects on the short life of a fellow soldier with whom he's serving in Iraq. A warning to listeners, this is as raw and disturbing as real life can be, and it's a real snapshot of the tenor of this impressive first novel. As he tells us, Jimenez was a Cherry. He was one of the replacements who had come to the company after 1st Platoon lost the four guys killed out on Rat Pook. He hadn't been around 2 months, and he was dead. It was unlucky. Sometimes the dead guy was really an a-hole, or you could make out the case that he was. Not so with Jimenez. For all intents and purposes, Jimenez was a saint. That's why he stuck out like a sore thumb in an infantry company. The thing is, your average infantryman is no worse than your garden variety SOB. But he talks in dick jokes and aspires to murder, and it doesn't come off as very saintly. Yet Jimenez was a saint. It wasn't like he was soft or anything like that. He was a tough kid. He'd only just turned 19, but he was strong with a deep chest and the kind of unbreakable wrists one gets from working with his hands. And he'd work. The sergeants liked him for that. But he was so GD nice that he drove some people crazy. Like he'd play poker with the poker players, and he'd play bad hands. Dealt a queen four off suited, he was liable to call two pre-flop raises and hit a boat up the river. And when people got mad at him for playing garbage, he'd apologize, try to give them back their chips. But it didn't work like that. The last time I saw Jimenez was about 8 hours before Haji killed him. He'd been boxing Staff Sergeant Castro in the weight room, sparring, and Castro had popped him on the nose pretty good, so his nose was bleeding, not broken or anything, just bleeding. And Castro told him to go see a medic, and Jimenez did what he was told, and when he came around looking for a medic, I gave him a hard time. I said, quote, "What the F are you coming to me about a bloody effing nose for, Cherry?" End quote. And he didn't say anything. He just smiled, all awkward, like he was embarrassed for me. I said, "Come on, Cherry, I'm tired. Please don't come to me with dumb S, okay? I'm really effing tired, you know?" He went out with a fire team in the morning. They set up a TCP on Ralph Martha. They'd gone out when it was still dark, and they hadn't had a good look at the spot where they were set up and didn't know Haji had laid a 155 round underneath the road there. The road was just a paved berm, and so it was easy to mind. And the Haj was watching him. He saw Jimenez stand on the spot he had mined. I heard Cole Joe talk about it. It was later that same day. He was telling some Joes what it had been like. He said, "It looked like something out of a horror movie. The 155 round took off both of Jimenez's legs and severed one of his arms almost completely. But he was still awake, and he knew what was happening. He was screaming. The fire team traded shots with the two effing murderers, but the murderers got away north through a palm grove. Palm team couldn't go after him because they couldn't leave Jimenez there by himself." Cherry, a novel. It's a gripping novel. It's an incredible read by first-time author Nico Walker. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.